Good morning. It's good to see everyone here today. Good to welcome you into God's house this morning. Things will be a little bit different this morning. We didn't have enough for a praise team, so we're going to be singing hymns this morning, so hymns that you all know and love and can follow along with. So it's good to see everyone here today, and I'm going to ask that you stand with us as we open our service with He Keeps Me Singing. Join in with us this morning. Take this opportunity to greet each other as we sing, I sing praises to your name.
I sing praises to your name, oh Lord, praises to your name, oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name, oh praises to your name, oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I give glory to your name, oh Lord, glory to your name, oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. Give glory to your name, oh Lord, glory to your name, oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Well, it's good to see you this morning. I'm glad that you're here with us. We welcome you today. We also welcome those who are watching by Facebook and YouTube and those who listen by web radio. We welcome you to our morning service. I'll be preaching today from the book of Habakkuk, Habakkuk chapter 2. We'll be going back to that book and be talking about that today. So find your place there, and after a while, we'll get going with that. Again, today we've gathered on this day to worship the Lord, and we want to worship Him in spirit and in truth. May we pray together. Lord, we do honor You today because You are worthy of our worship, and we've gathered here on this Sunday morning to worship You. And so, Father, today I pray that You'd be pleased with our worship today. We want to give all that we are to all that You are because You are worthy of that. I ask today that we'd open our hearts to You and to Your will for our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Several announcements there in your bulletin to take note of. One, there'll be no services this Wednesday night due to fall break, so no services here at the church this Wednesday. Then there's a note in there about our candy drive, drive that we're going to do for our event on Halloween. So just support that, as you can read the details of that in your bulletin this morning. We're going to ask that you join in with us as we sing three songs about faith in God and the storms we may face in life and our trust in Him. So have faith in God till the storm passes by and His eyes on the sparrow. You join in with us as we sing today.
Have faith in God when your pathway is lonely. Precious Lord.
Great songs from the hymns of faith and assurance and trust in Him. As our pastors mentioned, he's going to be preaching about how to make it through the storm. And that message was from Habakkuk this morning. One of my favorite songs of dealing with storms, and I hope it's one of yours as well, is The Anchor Holds, and that's what I'll sing this morning. I have journeyed through the long dark night, out on the open sea, by faith alone, sight unknown, and yet his eyes were watching me. The anchor holds, though the ship is battered, the anchor holds, though the sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging sea. The anchor holds in spite of the storm. I've had visions and I've had dreams, and I've even held them in my hands, but I never knew that they could slip right through like they were only grains of sand. The ship is battered, the anchor holds, though the sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging sea. Anchor holds in spite of the storm, and I have been young, but I am older now, and there has been beauty these eyes have seen. But it was in the night, through those storms of my life, oh, that's where God proved his love for me. The anchor holds, though the ship is battered, the anchor holds, though the sails are torn. I have fallen as I face the raging seas, the anchor holds in spite of the storm. My knees, as I face the raging seas, the anchor holds in spite of the storm.
Thank you, Jeff. Habakkuk chapter 2, please. I'll read the scripture and then we'll get into our message this morning. I want to begin reading at verse 1. Habakkuk said, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I'm corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, I will not tarry. Behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. We as believers are never promised that we'll never go through storms and troubles and hardships in life. Really, the opposite is true. What Jesus tells us in John's Gospel is this. He said, in the world, you will have tribulation. So we know that we will face hardships and trials and storms that come our way. Habakkuk is a man who's in a storm. And what we're going to see today is how he moved from confusion to confidence in the storm. So what I want to do today is talk about some steps that we can take when we go through the storms of life that we all face. They come on us unexpectedly. They come on us when maybe there's no warning. Someone has said this, we're either in a storm, we've either come out of a storm, or we're getting ready to go into a storm. And that is true in life because life is really up and down all the time. And so that's how it's done. We know what a storm can do. We see the effects of Hurricane Ian and what that did down in, Florida and different places. By the way, do you ever think I'd name a hurricane after you, Ian? Do you ever think about that? I thought about that, but anyway, it came, did a lot of damage, and that's what storms do. And so storms threaten our lives, they really do. In a spiritual way, they do that. So here's a man who is in a storm, and he's having a struggle. So what we're going to see today, though, is this, and where I want to go with it is this way. We see a lot of change in our world today. We read a lot of headlines today that are very frightening. We hear about all the trouble that's in the world today. As believers, what we need to do, though, is this. We need to interpret the headlines in a way that corresponds to our belief in the Bible, the promises of the Bible, the prophecies of the Bible, and that's where we find that anchor. In the midst of all the storms that are raging today in the world, there's an anchor. And we find that in the Word of God. But we've got to interpret all that we see today based on the promises that God has given us. And so those promises are seen here in His Word. And that's where Habakkuk has to go. As we talked last week, when he was in the storm, What he did was to go back to what he knew about God. And folks, that's where we've got to go. We go to what we know about God, and that's how we interpret all that we see going on in the world today. We go back to what we know about God. There's a lot going on today that we don't understand. And we don't understand the reason why and why things are, you know, like they are with all the evil and suffering and violence that we see in the world today. Well, we come back to what we know about God. And we may not have an explanation for the why, but we come back to what we know about God. But the first step we need to take is this, is perspective. Verse 1, Habakkuk said this. He said, I will stand upon my watch, set me upon the tower. So he's going to the watchtower so he could get a better view of things. I'm going to watch and see what he will say to me. Now, when we go through a storm, our problem is our vision is limited. We can't see. We can't see the future. We can't see the outcome maybe of the storm. So what we've got to do is get to God's perspective on it. So the watchtower is the place to be. Now, they had watchtowers in Jerusalem because what it did was to help them see the invasion army that was coming, the invasion and the armies, and they could plan their battle based on, you know, what they saw coming at them. But the watchtower is the place to be. That's the place of God's perspective. You know, God is never surprised by any unforeseen circumstance in your life or my life. God's never surprised at the storms and troubles and trials that we go through. Ephesians 1:11 says this, that he worketh all things after the counsel of his will. He worketh all things after the counsel of his will. So that's a great verse that we can stand on. And although we don't recognize it at times or understand it at times, God has a plan because he's working all things, as the Bible says, after the counsel of his will. One of the great examples of this, I think, is Joseph in the Old Testament. And certainly he found this out. Now, most of us know the story of Joseph backwards and forwards, but he went down into Egypt. He was accused of something that he didn't do. He spent time in prison. He finally got out of prison, and then he became second in command to the Pharaoh of Egypt. And then his brothers came down. He was acquainted with them again, and he was able to help the nation of Israel in Egypt because of the famine that came, because of his position that he had there. So God worked in his life. In Genesis 45:5, here's what Joseph said about his circumstance. He said, God sent me to Egypt to preserve life. Was it everything good there? No. Was he in a storm? Yes. But God brought the good out of the bad. Genesis 50:20, he said, you thought evil against me, speaking to his brothers, but God meant it into good. So again, God worked something that was evil and wrong and bad out to be a good way. Again, we come back to Romans 8:28. You know, all things are working together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to purpose. That verse doesn't say everything's good. It doesn't say that. But it says that God can work through those situations to bring the good out of it. But the key here is this. He said, I'm going to the watchtower. Now listen to what he says. I'm going to watch. Why? To see what he will say to me. We all need that watchtower. We all need that place we go when we go through the storm to get God's perspective. Let him speak to us. We need to hear God's viewpoint. We need to hear God's perspective on the situation. So the key is this, let God speak to your heart. So he's going there and he's going to wait to see what God will say to me. So he's taking his problem to the Lord, and really that is the key to the Christian life, is perspective. So he's getting God's perspective. Do you have God's perspective on your situation? When you go through a storm, you need to have God's perspective on the situation. There are things that we shouldn't do when we go through a storm. We don't need to make quick decisions. We don't need to do that. We need to do what the Bible says, wait on God. Wait on Him and let Him help us through the storm. We don't need to depend on human wisdom because we need God's wisdom. We don't understand it at times. We don't have the perspective we need, so we wait on God's wisdom. That's what He's doing here. He's going to the watchtower. He's waiting on God to speak to him. He wants a word from God. He wants God's wisdom in the situation that he is in. Now, the second step is patience. Look at verse 2 and 3. Then the Lord answered me. Why? Because he waited on God. And he was praying. He was seeking God's wisdom. So the Lord answered me, and he tells him what he wants him to do here. He talks about these tablets that he wants, you know, write this stuff down and then wait for that appointed time. Look at it in verse 3, the appointed time. The Bible, as we studied this morning in Sunday school, speaks about the patience of Job. And Job is a great example of patience. Job never got an explanation for all that he went through. But in the end, see, God worked the situation out for him, even though he never got that explanation. Now, it's a dangerous ground, I think, when we move away from grace to the ground of us thinking that we need to figure out everything and know everything, so we need to be careful with that. So we have patience. Well, he says here the third step is the promise. What is the promise? The promise that God gave to Habakkuk was this in verse 3, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. God has a plan. There is an appointed time. These two words here, appointed time, have everything to do with timing. What he's talking about here is timing. God is always on time. God is never late. God is never early. But His time is always right. There's an appointed time to everything. The Bible tells us in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, that it is appointed for men, women, boys, girls. It's appointed to men once to die. And then comes the judgment. So there's an appointed time. There's timing in everything. So he's wanting God's timing. And when we go through the storms of life, we need to know God's timing. Wait on God's timing. You know, the example of this in the Old Testament, again, we've talked about the example of Job being patient and the example of perspective, you know, with Joseph. But what's the example here in the Old Testament we can go to and talk about timing? Well, think about Joshua. When Joshua came to the city of Jericho, and he came to the walls that surrounded Jericho, God said, I want you to go in and take the land, take the city. Well, what prevented them from doing that was the walls that surrounded the city of Jericho. And God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to march around. And he says, on the last day that you march around, you march around seven times. And the walls of Jericho fell down flat. That didn't happen on the first day. Didn't happen on the second day. But it happened on the last day. We're talking about God's timing. Now, there's no explanation, humanly speaking, why the walls of Jericho should have fallen down. It was a God thing. But see, for that to happen, what Joshua had to do is to wait on God's timing. Are you waiting on God's timing? See, there's an appointed time, the Bible says. And so what Habakkuk is doing here, you know, God says, wait for the appointed time. And he's getting here to the promise. But at the end, it will speak, and it will not lie. What? The words that he wrote down on the tablet. What did he write down on the tablet? God's word. God's promise. What is this book? This book is the tablet. This book has the promises of God in it. So we go to the promises of God when we go through the storms of life. You know, far more than any explanation or any hurt that we may feel when we go through the storms of life is to know this, that the promises of God are true. And we wait on His timing and the promises that He's given to us. And then the fourth step here in getting through the storm is the word participation. Look at it in verse 4 of Habakkuk chapter 2. Behold the proud. Now he's going to use a contrast here. Behold the proud. His soul is not upright in him. But the just, see, here's the contrast. The just shall live by his faith. So the contrast is between the proud and the just. The proud would be a person like Nebuchadnezzar. God's going to use Nebuchadnezzar and the army of Babylon to come in to bring judgment on Judah. That's what's going on in the book of Habakkuk. But he's talking about people who are proud. People who think they don't need God. People who rebel against God. The proud in heart. A person who's not humbled himself before God or opened his heart to God or opened his life to God. His soul is not upright in him. He doesn't have that relationship with God. The way we would say it, he's not saved. He's never been born again. He's never come to faith in Christ. But the contrast is the just, the person who believes in God, the person who is saved, the person who has a relationship with the Lord. So that's where this participation comes in. But the just shall live by his faith. Now, the idea here is this. It's not only the faith that we have personally where we put in our trust in God. I like what Adrian Rogers said. He said, you know, we don't need great faith, but what we need is faith in a great God. The just shall live by his faith. The faithfulness of God. God's faithfulness to you. His faith. His promises that he's made. The faithfulness of God that says to us we can trust him when we go through the storm. This verse here is the most quoted verse in the New Testament. The just shall live by his faith. It's found in Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, and also Hebrews 10:38. So it's a very important verse here. But the proud are people who leave God out of their lives. And going through a storm, you need God. You need God to be in your life to make it through the storms of life. And then the fifth step here is perception. What he says here, look at verse 20. Here's his perception. For the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. What's his perception of things here? It's this, that God is in control. God is sovereign. See, again, when you go through the storm, what you need to do is go back to what you know about God. We may not know everything we need to know about the storm. We may not know the outcome and all that's going on and all that God is doing through the storm. But we come back to it in chapter 1, verse 12. See, here's what he's coming back to. And this is where he's gaining his confidence as he goes from confusion to confidence. Are you not from everlasting? So he's talking about God being eternal. O Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh. What that means is He's self-existing. He has all power. He is the mighty God. Lord, the name Lord there. The Holy One, the one who's holy, the one who never makes a mistake, the one who never does wrong. See, we come back to what we know about God. God, I know that you're going to get me through this storm. God, I believe in your promises. God, I'm going to put my trust, I'm going to put my faith in you. So when we're confused, what do? We wait on God because he keeps his word. When it seems like the bad guys are winning and the good guys are losing, what do? We watch for God. And he will bring his justice. When we think that all hope is lost, what do? We worship God because he is in control. So we wait, we watch, and we worship. And that's what Habakkuk did to get through the storm that he was going through. We wait on God. We watch for God to work. You see, what Habakkuk couldn't understand was this. He couldn't understand why God wasn't judging the sin of Judah. And God tells him this. He said, look, I'm going to judge. I'm going to take care of that. And he did. What happened was this. They went into captivity for 70 years. Another thing he struggled with is this, how God was going to work that out. He was going to use Babylon to bring about this judgment. And Habakkuk couldn't understand that because the people of Babylon were very wicked people. And how is this going to work out? God says, Habakkuk, I'm going to take care of that. I'm going to use them now. But in 530 B.C., you know what he did? He took care of Babylon and he judged them. But it was many years later that he did that. So what did Habakkuk have to do? He had to wait. He had to watch. And then when he was going through his storm, you know what he did? He worshiped God. Oh, Lord, I know that you're in the holy temple. Now, the just is going to live by faith. As believers, that's how we live. I'm asking you today, where's your faith? Do you have faith in Jesus Christ? Have you placed your faith in him? People who think that they don't need God, they don't place their faith in God. But I'm telling you, we need God. And we need God to be a part of our life. That's why we want people to be saved. That's why we preach the gospel. That's why we lift up Jesus Christ, because we talk about a saving faith. It's not our faith, it's faith that we put in Jesus Christ. Have you placed your faith in him and what he did on the cross for you? Have you placed your faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ to believe that he was raised from the dead? Do you believe that? Have you placed your faith there? That is the saving faith that we all need. And then we have the faith to live day by day by day to trust him. We can trust him. Let's stand together for our prayer. Father, we thank you today for your word. We know that the storms of life come, the circumstances of life come that really create a lot of trouble and problems. And a lot of that we don't understand. We're just like Habakkuk. We don't understand a lot of that. But here's what we need to do. We need to trust you. We need to put our faith in you because you are God. Lord, help us to wait on you. Help us to watch and to see how you work, to watch for your plan, to watch for your will. And Lord, help us to worship you. Lord, we pour our hearts out to you today in worship. That's why we're here today. We worship you because you are worthy, because you're God. Lord, I pray that you'd give us the encouragement that we need from your word today. Father, I pray for those who need to establish a relationship with you. Those who've never been saved, those who've never placed their faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. May they come to you today, and may they place their faith in you. And Lord, help us to place our faith in you as we go through the storms of life, to stand on the promises of God that you've given to us. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's sing together.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to
these five steps will help you that we shared today. And you know, as you go through the Bible, you see all these examples, and I shared some of those examples with you. When you think about Joseph, what he went through, you think about Job and his situation, then Joshua and what he faced there. And so all these examples we find from the Bible, this give us so much encouragement. And I hope that'll help you, and I hope that you can think about those and as you go through this week. So God bless you and go in God's love and His grace this week. So at this time, I guess we're going to be dismissed in the course. And then after that, you're free to go.
As we close, let's close with a song about heaven. There's coming a day, what a day that will be, and the King is coming. You join in with us.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come.
Dismissed.